Does anybody know where that is? A few years ago, the Air Force Academy in Colorado Springs dedicated an outdoor space on its campus as a pagan circle. Now, the Air Force Academy already has a very impressive chapel. It's called the Cadet Chapel. And they have separate worship spaces for Catholics and Protestants and Buddhists and Jews. And they even have a room called All Faiths Room. And they have separate entrances. It's very interesting, very multicultural. But even with all of that diversity, there wasn't a designated space for earth-centered spirituality. Nothing for this broad category that we would call pagan. And so this was the result. Pagan, this is a very old word. It comes from the Middle English, and it describes a person who lives out in the village, out in the countryside, maybe a bumpkin, you know, someone who doesn't live in the city. But over the years, pagan became a term for anyone who was not Christian. And so it became another word for heretic or infidel. This negative connotation remains with us, even though we know better. These days, paganism can describe a wide variety of earth-based, earth-centered traditions, including those from Native American, indigenous people, Japanese Shinto, goddess worship, and many modern neo-pagan traditions like Wiccan and Druid and Celtic. Now, how paganism became part of Unitarian Universalist history and tradition is a story that parallels our faith's growing awareness of feminine spirituality as well as our deepening earth consciousness. So you cannot tell the story of UU paganism without telling the story of feminism. As recently as 1970, Unitarian Universalism was a male-dominated religion. Most of our ministers were men, and our liturgy were masculine in form and expression. Our hymnal, some of you grew up with the blue hymnal, the blue book, the one before the gray hymnal. This one used only male pronouns and referred to all people as men. In 1977, the UUA's General Assembly responded to the lack of women's voices by passing a resolution called Women and Religion. It called all individual UUs and UU organizations to examine and put aside sexist assumptions, attitudes, and language, and to explore and eliminate the religious roots of sexism in myths, traditions, and beliefs. One of the first things that happened after that resolution was passed was a convocation, a gathering of women and theology, and it brought people from all over the country. At that convocation, the women gathered together and they created a ritual called water communion. It was the first time water communion ever occurred in our movement, and since then, almost all congregations, including ours, use water communion as a ritual of ingathering as we come back from the summer and gather together in September. It was also at this event that the earliest known organized UU pagan worship occurred, and there was much discussion about goddess worship and Wicca traditions. So move into the 80s, and we see a tremendous growth and energy in the neo-pagan movement. In 1985, CUPS was organized, the Covenant of UU Pagans. 2 years later, Margot Adler, the author and NPR correspondent, brought a conversation about paganism into the mainstream of Unitarian Universalists in a keynote speech that she called A Pagan Spiritual View. Now, around this same time, in the early 80s, women were participating in large numbers in rewriting and writing the current version of our seven principles. having asked this question at one of their conventions, the UUA principles, do they affirm us as women? The women made sure that they had a seat at the table to make sure that the 1985 revision of the seven principles, in fact, did represent the women's voices. The seventh principle that you all know very well, right, which is the respect for the interconnected web of all existence of which we are a part, not only fueled the growing pagan movement within Unitarian Universalism, but also propelled the growing environmental movement with the creation of the Green Sanctuary Program. Then, in 1995, the General Assembly adopted the sixth source, which reads, spiritual teachings of earth-centered traditions which celebrate the sacred circle of life and instruct us to live in harmony with the rhythms of nature. Now think about it. This only came into being in 1995. We have yet to even begin to live into what that means for us to live in harmony with the rhythms of nature. The addition of the sixth source brought earth-centered religions up to the same institutional level as Judeo-Christian heritage, humanism, Buddhism, Islam. It was a very important move. Now, even with all of this historical grounding, I know that there are some among us who still feel a little wary of paganism, still feel a little nervous tinge, not able to shake off those negative connotations of witches and demons. Some Unitarian Universalists are not quite comfortable with this newest addition to our living, growing religious faith. And I think this just comes from the newness of it all. You know, it comes from some misunderstanding, some ignorance, and those are things that are easy to overcome. And so if you'd like to learn more, I urge you to read Margot Adler. She's easy to find. That keynote address that she gave at General Assembly is easy to find. And also read Star Hawk. Both of these women are friends of Unitarian Universalists. They kind of understand our perspective, and they write in such a way that will be very familiar to us. And maybe one of you right here will be interested in starting a CUPS chapter right in Williamsburg. Can you imagine the covenant of Unitarian Universalist pagans in Williamsburg, Virginia? Right? How fun would that be? But this all goes together with our value to love and protect the earth. Because if we are to protect the earth from our ignorance and our neglect, then we must strengthen our connection to our mother. And one powerful way to do that is through ritual and through worship. If you will think of ourselves as coming out of the earth rather than having been thrown down here from somewhere else, you will see that we are the earth. We are the consciousness of the earth. These are the eyes of the earth, and these are the hands of the earth. Blessed be, may it be so.